Thank the Lord for this wonderful meeting. This being the last meeting, I'm thinking of what if it would be my last meeting to stand before the saints. What kind of a message would the Lord give a burden for? I believe that it might would coordinate with the meeting that we heard this morning about the end. Thinking of the faithfulness of God to his people and to all souls, through this meeting, God has been so faithful to send messages on every line, to send messages that gives the warning, to send messages with instructions and feeding messages. I have been fed in this meeting, and I thank the Lord that he is able to prepare a table before us in the very presence of our enemy. I have seen the faithfulness of God in sending the light of his word through this meeting. We have seen those who have gotten saved. We have seen those who have sought for a deeper walk with the Lord and for sanctification and for consecrations. And that's what the Lord intends for his people and for those that have a heart that is turned toward him. When we have the camp meetings or revivals or whatever kind of meeting, even the services on Sunday morning, the messages that are sent to his people are to be there to hold up and bolster and to minister to each one of us until the end of this world. Thank the Lord. So I believe that God will owe no man anything when the last day comes. I believe that he will have given every opportunity to every soul on the face of the earth, and he will not owe one more opportunity. And I see him doing that as we go into the camp meeting season, this being about the first camp meeting of this year. So I don't believe that there will be any soul that will say, if you would have sent one more opportunity, I would have gotten saved. Or there will not be someone that will say, if you would have sang one more song, I might would have gone to the altar. I feel like that the saints are very long-suffering, and we give many opportunities for those that are either thinking about their soul or for those that the Spirit of the Lord is wooing. So this particular little message is going to be just one more of those messages. All that you have heard has been familiar to us. And this one will not be unfamiliar. So we desire that you be patient as this one more message is given. This message will go down in the record of God's book, the same as all other messages, all of the messages that have been sent to draw people unto the Lord. It is recorded up there, and when you and I stand there, he will say, I sent a message for you. Brother Leslie preached this afternoon on invitations, and every invitation is recorded in the book of life, in the book of God, and he will know that he has sent that message, that warning, that invitation. He will know that I had opportunity. I'm thinking about a song that speaks of it as being the old, old story. And that's what we would say about this message. It is just another old story. You and I that have been born and raised in the Church of God and came up listening to the messages. I was a little girl and I was sitting on the pews and I was it looked like I was playing and not even paying attention, but even as a little child, I had a draw to what I heard. I believed it to be the truth. And I, as a little child, I said, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. For many years, I wasn't. But there came a time at the age of 30 that I became a saint and I never gave up again. And so I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to my soul down through my life, the many opportunities that he gave me, the many times that he drew me, the many times that his arms were outstretched to me. Thank the Lord. Speaking about warnings, I have often told the congregation and other places as well that my calling is to the saints. And my burden is to warn the righteous that they sin not. So my burden is included in the thought we have tonight. And I'm thinking about here in Oklahoma, how we have the kind of weather that we need constant alertness and warning. And I want to tell you just a little thing about myself. Sometimes we can hear these warnings and it's like crying wolf. And we think, oh, they're just overreacting, the radio station is. And so one time my sister called and she said, now Maxine, there really is going to be a storm. And I said, okay. And I was doing things in my bedroom, putting up curtains and so forth. And I wanted to go to the mall to finish my shopping. And I go to the mall, I turn on the car radio, and they're giving all of these terrible reports. And I'm looking at the sky and I say, oh, they're just overreacting. And I get my things and I go back home and not listening to the radio, not listening to the warnings. And my husband is, and I had stopped at one store, Kmart, and purchased my curtains. And then all of a sudden I realized I left all of my curtains at the store after paying for them. And I wanted to go back. And my husband wouldn't let me because it was so bad out. I was not paying attention to the warnings. I didn't pay attention to the thunder and the lightning and the wind and all of that. That happens in Oklahoma. And so finally, I begged and begged until he said, okay, go get your curtains. I get out on the street and I am the only person on the street. No other cars are in town. Well, I drive on to Kmart, I pull up, and two people are out front, and they said, lady, don't you know we're having bad weather? Well, I left my package in the store. I get it and go home. Little did I know the terrible tornado that was going through Moore and Midwest City. I was not heeding the warnings. Did you know that we can become like that? It can just be another weather report. It can just be another prediction of a tornado that doesn't happen. But sometimes they really happen. And so the little warning tonight would have to go in a category like that. It's not crying wolf. One day, these things are going to happen. So, I believe that what the Lord is trying to do is to send a cry that says, awake, wake up, even to the saints. You and I can sit in an assembly of a meeting and hear the word and go home and someone says, what was the message about? And you and I have a tendency to have to stop and say, well, let me think. And then we just simply go about our business, and it's difficult for us to remember the messages that God has sent to try to prepare us and keep us. Remember, our burden is to warn the righteous that they sin not. To set the tone for the little thought tonight, it comes from a song, 389. And each verse starts out with the same few words. It says, O soul, be afraid. Now, to my knowledge, this is the only song in all of this book that says anything about this kind of fear. This is a song that should awaken me to being afraid of something. In the last few months, while I have been in prayer, the Lord has spoken to me and said, you can be lost. It was an astounding statement. I'm pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling. I'm doing that every day. And yet the Spirit of the Lord came and said, you can be lost. It caused a great fear to come upon my very soul. And the Lord began to bring this song to me. Oh, soul, be afraid. What are we to be afraid of? Because you and I are going to reckon with God. Because the judgment is going to come. I can fall asleep. I can be dull of my mind. I can be in such a state that I'm not looking for the Lord every day. Are you looking for the Lord to come every day? There was a time, my mother has always told me when I was little, that I looked for the Lord even as a child, that I believed I was going to live to see the Lord come. And I have had those same thoughts. And I went through a period of time back in the 90s. I looked for the Lord every day. But past that time, life has gone on. He didn't come in the year 2000 when people were really looking for him. And so the routine of life, we just begin to go into the routine of life. And we find ourselves not looking for the Lord. So the Lord says, you can be lost. And my soul was fearful. And I began to say, what should I fear? And he gave me a few things to really consider. Oh, soul, be afraid to fail the grace of God. Be afraid. Have a fear that I could fail the grace of God. I could lose out. I could backslide. Can we? Can you backslide? Absolutely. The God of this world wants to blind your eyes and deceive your heart. You must fight to be able to keep a light in your life that you're not deceived and you're not blind. Are you afraid to be lost in all eternity? I am. I have a fear. Are you afraid to hear those words? Depart. Or sorry, I never knew you. Are you afraid? Does that strike fear in your heart? And the song says, oh soul, be afraid. The scripture says, if you're guilty of one point, you're guilty of all. Are you afraid that what if? You know, God is faithful. There is a scripture that he gave me a number of years ago that I stand on today, and it says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, in other words, perfect minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. We can trust the faithfulness of God. That's not the kind of fear that I'm talking about. I just am afraid for my soul slipping, sliding. Another scripture says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What does that mean? What does the word scarcely mean? Doesn't it mean just barely saved?
Very much difficult.
Very difficult. If the righteous just scarcely be saved, doesn't that awaken a fear in your heart for your soul? Oh, soul, be afraid. The beginning scripture that we want to give is Hebrews 4 and 1. And I'm just going to give you part of it for the sake of the thought tonight. It said, let us fear lest any should come short. So the tone of the message tonight is from this song, the day of his grace is past. I would like for you to sing a song. I have a little drawing I want to put on the board. I'd like for you to sing 356 while I do the drawing.
Melt with fervent heat, the heavens pass away, and all mankind their doom shall meet in that last great day. Oh, that last great day is coming very soon, is the judgment day. Is the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in the last great day. The trump will sound, the Lord return, and time no longer be. The world in judgment flames consume in the last the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in the last great day.
I have a little drawing on the board, and basically, it's self-explanatory. We have a songwriter that speaks about the crashing of ages, time meeting eternity. We have an eternity. We all know this. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. But we're living in an age when there are people that believe that those that are in hell will not have to stay there. That there will be a way out. They call it purgatory. That they can be prayed out of purgatory. And they can eventually cross over into that heavenly realm where God is. But there is a great gulf that is fixed between heaven and hell. And the scripture tells us, Jesus said it, spoke of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And he said, when the man that was in hell lifted up his eyes and desired a drop of water, and this thing was said, Lazarus cannot come to you. There is a great gulf fixed. It is important that you and I believe these teachings of Christ, of the enlightenment, that when we come to the end of our life or time, that it is a crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. It's difficult for you and me to fully grasp the reality of eternity. One songwriter says, long eternity. And it tries to impress upon us a length that we relate to in time. But there are many people who are in eternity, lost, have been there for even 1 year. And they already believe it's been long enough. Those that have been there 5 years, they surely believe 5 years. They're counting time in hell and in eternity. They believe that it has been long enough. I'm speaking of these things because even though you may be a saint of God today, you need to recognize and believe and be familiar with heaven and hell. Jesus has given us information enough. He spoke of it being a place where there was gnashing of teeth, where there was torment. We know that there is a place that no man can escape, but they have chosen to be there, the songwriter also says. Many people say God will not send anyone to hell. No, God does not send anyone to hell. Each soul that has found their eternity in hell chose to be there by the decisions that they made in life, by the choices that they made, by rejecting the power of Christ and the blood of Christ. They chose to be in hell. So I'd like for you now to share and turn with me to 409. A very solemn song. This song has been sung thousands of times. I do not believe I am exaggerating. As a child, I remembered this song being sung every time it was sung at an altar call. I've always looked at this song and said it was an altar call song. But I find that the Spirit of the Lord opened my eyes and He said, this is a song to the saints. This is not a song to the sinner. This is a song for you and me that are fighting and pressing our way to our heavenly home to be very affected. Are you ever affected by this song? When it was sung, how were you affected? Did you get the vision that the writer of this song got? I want to speak to you a little bit about the author of this song, D.O. Teasley. He had at one time an experience. I want you to consider this as we look into this song. He was saved. He was sanctified. He was called of God. He was a worker of the gospel. He wrote many songs in our book. But something happened to his life. A lust came into his life. And he chose to follow the lust of his flesh. He departed from his wife. He divorced his wife. He went after a younger woman. He lost his soul. And just some of the basic information on his deathbed. He said, I do not want the name of God to be mentioned at my funeral. That's the report that has gone down through the years. And for a man to write a song, to be inspired, to have the vision that this man had, and then to come down to the end of his life and be lost. Do you see why we have such a burden? The scripture even says it. Warn the righteous that they sin not. If you're here and you have, you're living for the Lord and you're sensitive to the things of God, you have to keep sensitive to the things of God. Day in and day out, you cannot let your feet slide. You can't let them slip. But let's look in the song. He said, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim, that word pilgrim, I likened it to a saint. He saw something here. It wasn't the center where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. That's a saint. That's not talking to a sinner. That's talking to you and me. And his vision was he'd probably attended many funerals of those who were saved, who died with victory, and they were going out into eternity to be with the pure and the blessed. He said then he stood and silently musing and thinking, it means, in silent devotion. He had to think about eternity, even for the saved. Eternity seemed to draw near. And what did he hear? The choirs of the faithful. Do you see that this is written to the saints? It seemed in my fancy, this is what I heard. Eternity. Long eternity. And he heard the solemn footsteps of eternity. We need this kind of a serious vision. The scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you haven't got a vision of eternity, even for the saved, you may lose it. It may not mean quite as much to you. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years. You know what that dull, heavy tread is? It's just the going on, ever going forward. It doesn't stop. Time is not stopping for any of us until death or until time is no more. We all are feeling the pressure and the swiftness of time. We look across the congregation here tonight. We see some of you that are gray in your hair, who was once young. Brother Leslie loves to tell us of his teenage years, and he's far from a teenager now. Time has moved on. Time is now put him where he is. We look across and we see those who were little children at one time, and now they are fathers and mothers, and they have their children. And then those that are now grandparents. Time is not going to stand still for anyone. But as he wrote, he said, I listened to this dull forward moving of the years, year after year, and I thought then of the fate of the guilty. This is the place where we need to think of our loved ones. When Christ in his glory appears, and a shudder came over my spirit, and I thought, what a moment. What would it mean for a moment to be lost? For eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. He was thinking of losing even one moment of time. This writer that ended up today is in a devil's hell. There is no hope for him. God's name was not mentioned at his funeral. He goes on and he says, I saw then the judge in his splendor. He stepped to the great judgment seat and thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. His vision is worth you and me having a vision of the end also. Will this just be another warning? Just another message I have said to the congregation. There was a time a few years ago the Lord spoke it to me. And he said, the messages are stacking up. The services are stacking up. He's keeping a record of all that has happened in this meeting, of all of the opportunities, of every time that the Spirit of the Lord came and ministered to each soul and said, consider this place in your life. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure that all is clear. He's a particular God. He is a God that is a God of mercy. But on the day of judgment, he has nothing more to say. And you and I will have no excuse wherever we stand before God. One thing that this writer said, it said that he would reel. He would stagger at the scene that he saw. It took him aback as he even thought of it. I have another song, 395. A song that the very title causes me to be very alert. Weighed in the balance. The song here says, weighed in the balance. This is a song that we sing often as an altar call song, as a song to appeal to each one that is in the audience that might have something in their life that would tip the scales. Weighed in the balance and found wanting. Weighed, what will tip the scales in your life? In your judgment, will it be unforgiveness? Will it be hurts? hurts that I didn't get the victory over, disappointments? Will it be bitterness? Would it be the little foxes? Are there little foxes that can spoil my vine? There are. An unwillingness to measure to the Word of God. You see, I'm going to be measured by the Word of God. I'm not going to be measured by any man's words. I'm going to be measured. I'm going to be weighed by the Word of God, weighed by the Word which is given now. So the little foxes, holding to just a little bit of the world, holding, loving the world. Jesus said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Are you holding a little close to the shoreline? Are you wanting just a little bit to fit in? That is something that can be very small. But I want to tell you, at the judgment, it will tip the scales. You will be weighed and found wanting. Is it just an attitude? You're not willing to give up? Are you willing to or wanting to stand up for your rights? Did you know God is wanting you and me to give Him our rights? I've told this before. When my father died, I was his only child. I had three half-sisters, and my brother was adopted. And the minister called and said, do you want me to say that Maxine is his only child? And the answer given by my sister was, no, we are a family. And I heard it. And all of a sudden, I wanted to stand up for my rights. And I went home, and I was on my knees and crying out to the Lord. And the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw myself laying on a seashore, and I'm standing here looking at my empty shell. And God spoke to me and He said, that is your carnal self. He said, now you can go back into that shell if you want to. Or you can walk away and I'll wash it away with the sea. I wept because my flesh wanted to stand up for my rights. But by faith, I walked away. And I never said the things I wanted to say. Did you know that God is looking in our hearts? These kind of things can tip the scales. It doesn't have to be an issue with your family. It can be an issue on your job. It can be issues at school. It can be issues in families, in the congregation. And you think you have a right to speak your mind. But it does something to the heart. And it will tip the scales in that last day. You will be judged by the Word of God. Or will it be something at the judgment such as giving too much time and energy and not enough to your soul? Did you know one of the greatest battles most people have right now is taking time to read and pray? The enemy is fighting that very fact of getting alone with God. I want to urge you tonight, take time for your soul. Take time to read the Word. Feed your soul. Don't depend on just coming and hearing a message on Sunday morning and it being sufficient for the week. You need to feed your soul every day. Take time to talk to the Lord. It will pay off. He said in His Word, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. That's where our victory is. Have I had too many of the cares of life? What does the cares of life do? Chokes. It will choke me. Be awake. Wake up tonight. Put on strength. The time is running out. Time is running low. Take time for your soul. Amen. Don't give your whole life to this world. You are in this world, but be not of this world. There are many voices that are contradicting and attacking the truth. Do you see the light? The scripture says, without a vision, you and I will perish. Yeah. We have to have a vision of the truth of God's word. We have to live it. We have to obey it. And there's many voices right now that can talk you out of it. That can reason you out of the truth. Know what the truth means. Know what it will stand for. There is another song. We have used it there at home a number of times. And we will continue to use it. And it says, O soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. And what is its purpose? What are their purpose? It's to draw you away. I would say that there's more than 10,000. That song was written maybe 100 years ago. It may be 200,000. It may be 1,000,000. The scripture speaks of the saints in light being compassed about. It was read to us this morning. Just before the end. All of these things are surrounding us. As we go out and mingle and mix in the world, we are in the world but not of the world. We still go to our jobs. We still go to our schools. We still go to the market. And we're surrounded by many spirits that are drawing and tempting. Oh, I want to say, let us all make a covenant with our eyes, man and woman, that we not behold these things and look upon them with any kind of lust. Warn the righteous that they sin not. That you go and mix and mingle and not be affected by what you see. Paul said in one place, he said, none of these things move me. Can that be your resolve? None of these things are going to move me. As we go to the stand at Walmart or in the supermarket, what do you see at the stand? Do you have to turn your eyes away? You must. If you look upon those things, if you have a picture in your mind, the enemy will take advantage of that. Warn the righteous that they sin not. Look away from it. Make a covenant with your eyes. I will not look upon that which is evil and ungodly. We're going to close with a scripture in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us fear God and keep His commandments. Let us recognize that eternity draws nigh. The message this morning was very stirring. I hope that we each one will take that message home and remember it. There is an end. The end is nigh. Oh, you might say that's being said and has been said all my life. And the scripture even says that there are those that scoff at those things. But there's coming a day. It will happen. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Lord. It said that their hearts were evil continually in that age. And yet there came a day that the prophecy that the water, the rain would start, the flood would come, it came. And as Brother Dan mentioned this morning, the scripture about the world being reserved unto fire and that the next end would be by fire, it will happen. Saints, fight to be ready. Don't let anything move you. Don't allow the enemy to tempt you. Don't allow the enemy to put anything in your mind that will affect your spiritual soul. Go forward. Believe. Take time for your soul. Pray. Read. Fast. Take time for your soul. Eternity is drawing nigh. It doesn't matter who we are. Those of us that are older, we could be taken out. I said a little while ago that I always thought that I would live to see the coming of the Lord. I'm beginning to doubt that. It may be that I will have my time. But there is coming a day. There will be a generation that will see the coming of the Lord. Let us all pray for one another. We often have prayer requests, and I'm not against this request at all. Pray for the lost. I believe in praying for the lost. But I like to say sometimes, pray for the saved, that they will keep saved. So let's leave that request. Let's pray for one another that we will make it, that we will be faithful to the end. And I want you to pray for me, that I will be faithful to the end. Thank you for your time this evening. Let us all remember one another. Yes, pray for the lost, but pray for the saved. Remember the burden. Warn the righteous that they sin not. Amen.